all the wonders of a loving God, and it makes us really say, how can it be? Amen. All right, well, let me pass the little outline out. Everybody can get one, follow along, use it for scrap paper, note-taking.
Airplanes,
yeah. Crush it up and run it into a... Okay. There we go. I'll just leave that here for time. All right. Well, we are in the fourth lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to continue the vein of service and wonder what, you know, the Apostle Paul's building quite a, I won't say a charge to the Corinthians, but he's setting it up to where, you know, looking at service and realizing that everybody's a team and that everybody, you know, has if you're not growing in Christ and staying immature, that it's essentially sinful. And that, you know, the type of service that's there, you know, how we're motivated to do service, you know, is it selfish service, or is it one that is to glorify God and edify the church? So in chapter 4, we'll start at verse 1 here. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Let's open our word of prayer then. Father, we thank you that as we are servants to you, that and that we are stewards of such wonderful, as it says, the mysteries of God. And Father, you gave to the Apostle Paul wisdom and understanding of these mysteries, and he's sharing them and showing in each one of the churches the importance of these mysteries. And Father, we thank you that that we are not keepers of those mysteries and keeping them hidden, but we're to share those mysteries and to give wisdom and direction. And Father, without them, the fullness of what you have planned for mankind and your church and for those that are saved would be pretty much lost, and as it was in the Old Testament. Father, we thank you now for each of these studies that give us more wisdom into this, and I pray that we understand what you're giving to us and showing us in your word and through these lessons. And we ask it for your son's sake. Amen. Well, with this, the Apostle Paul is showing in his letter more information, and the title of this lesson is Just Be Faithful. And so it's kind of interesting, and of course, as I was going through reading this, the little songworm came into my mind, Frank Garlock song, you know, I Want to Be Faithful. So now that'll stick in your head, the chorus, for a while. So I'm going through, I was, oh no. But, you know, it makes sense, you know. It says, so what does it mean to be faithful? Anybody want to be a faithful servant or to be faithful or anything? Anybody got a word, a synonym for that? Pastor?
There's a lot there.
Yeah, there is. Reliable. Right, reliable's one, a perfect one. Full of faith, yes. You know, and then of course, if you look on the worldly side of it, when somebody says you're faithful, you know, they look at things like trustworthy. Are you dependable? You know, are you consistent, genuine? Are you steady in how you do things? You know, so, and that goes for the Word of God. I mean, there's ways to be, you know, reliable, dependable, trustworthy, consistent, genuine, and steady in service for the Lord. We've got groups that, you know, that go from one end of the pendulum to the other. You know, they're faithful in what they think they need to be faithful in, and the Apostle Paul's trying to build that. So, the next question comes, how are others counting on you to be reliable in specific aspects of life? You know, something to think about. And then the other is, how important to you is the faithfulness of others? You know, it's always fun. I'm going to pick on my wife for a minute, but when somebody makes an appointment, and I think it works with Lindsay trying to rent a house, you know, when somebody sets an appointment up with you, you kind of expect them to be there, you know, not 30, 40 minutes late, or, you know, never calling and not even bothering to show up. But, you know, you would kind of expect that, you know. I mean, it's like, did their mother teach them right when they're growing up? But, you know, it's kind of interesting. But I've got a little story here. It's kind of, you know, we like to listen to Channel 12 up out of Portland, and they've got their most wanted. You know, they always list people with most wanted, you know, anybody from whatever kind of crime's going on. But this one here, it says, imagine watching in KPTV's Channel 12 Most Wanted, and their help to locate a fugitive matching the description of a model employee. And in fact, something like this did happen here not too long ago. This person was, this is, as the scenario unraveled, the audience learned about a woman who stole large sums of money from major department stores in the Portland area after winning the management's full confidence. Well, this wasn't specifically with a department store, but this woman was like in charge of a Boys and Girls Club over on the west side. And we're talking tens of thousands of dollars that she stole over a period of time. Anyway, in each case that they identified, she'd been hired as a bookkeeper. Her diligence and dependability soon gave her the model employee status, and eventually she was trusted with the task of collecting the end-of-day receipts for all cash registers and depositing them in the store safe. Well, because she was so diligent, she often stayed after closing to attend to her regular work hours. Eventually, one of the after-hours nights when she was alone in the store, she walked away with all the cash receipts. So the model employee was not such a model after all. In the final analysis, she was basically untrustworthy and unfaithful. So, you know, so with our service to the Lord, God expects us to be faithful in service He's called us into. You know, that, well, you know, it's like, why should I get up here, you know, and give these lessons? I can just open the book up and we can just read from it and kind of look at it and add a few this and that and whatever else. But, you know, unlike this employee, our faithfulness should be consistent and should prove to be genuine. And that's important as Christians. When we're talking to somebody about accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, if we're kind of rolling along and telling somebody and really not, kind of going back and forth and repeating, or like, did you say, you know, what was that question or answer again? You know, we're not very attentive sometimes. And sadly, a lot of people are like that, that when they listen to you, they're not listening to you. You know, you watch their gaze, they're going off somewhere else. And it's sad, but as Christians, we need to be genuine in when we present that. And that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to get at here. You know, he says, you know, and he begins, well, let's see here. We've already shown that we're to glorify God as a good team member, to share the gospel from God's word, and then we're to serve with the proper motives. So that he's trying to set up the foundation that we talked about last week, the foundation for everyone that's wants to be a servant for God. And we kind of alluded to, you know, there are wide dispersants on here where, you know, we could, you know, just let anybody in. Like Pastor said, yeah, we could probably have this place packed out and have to move into a big building if we just kind of compromise in some areas and watered things down a little bit and just kind of opened our doors to whoever. And, you know, yeah, oh, you love Jesus? Yeah, you're saved. Come on in, you know, and accept them as members and just really build them up. And, of course, then you could swing to the other end where, you're so hypercritical that the Apostle Paul wouldn't even qualify. You know, there's some people that, you know, I mean, that's way ends of the scale. You know, we're supposed to be in the middle where we understand, use the Word of God as our guideline, base it on the Lord Jesus Christ, and going forward. So, you know, even in 1 John, it tells us to try the spirits. So we ask those kinds of questions. And the Apostle Paul's trying to get them to think that way, is to think and ask God, you know, if there's a question. So as we look through there, we see that the wrong motives can hurt us. And I was just showing Pastor earlier, and this might be a good study sometime, is, you know, we're talked about that here the faithfulness demanded, and that it says that the principle of accountability. And in verses 1 and 2, the last part of verse 1 says that we're stewards of the mysteries of God. And if, you know, if you got a Scofield Bible, he's got a whole section under Matthew 13:11 where he gives a whole list of mysteries. And, you know, there's 11 mysteries in here that he lists. Others, you know, they can come up with 12. Some only go with 7. But, you know, we're given really the mystery he's alluding to here is essentially presenting the gospel in the way it is. But there are things like the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that talks about it in Matthew 13, or the mystery of Israel's blindness during this age. And the pastor's getting ready to get to that one here in Romans 11. Or the mystery of the translation of the living saints at the end of the age. Rapture, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll get there eventually. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, the mystery of the New Testament church as one body composed of Jews and Gentiles. We're talking a little bit about that here. We talked a little bit in the book of Acts, but in Ephesians 3 talks about it, Romans 16. And Colossians 4:3, and there's other verses. The mystery of the church as the bride of Christ in Ephesians 5. The mystery of the in-living Christ, in other words, Christ dwelling in us in Galatians and Colossians. The mystery of God even as Christ, that's, you know, as Scofield put it, you know, you look down here. The mystery of God even Christ, that is Christ as the incarnate fullness of the Godhead embodied, in whom all the divine wisdom of man subsists. In other words, he's indwelling in us, you know, but we have the fullness, like the mysteries of God. And the Apostle Paul keeps pointing those out. And then the mysteries of the process by which God likeness is restored in men in 1 Timothy. The mystery of iniquity, talks about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians. The mystery of the seven stars in Revelation. And the mystery of Babylon, also in Revelation 17:5. And it's interesting, mystery is never found in the Old Testament, the word mystery. Now they allude to it. And again, that'd be an interesting study to go in there and look and see, you know, like Old Testament, was that prophecies they were talking about that are being fulfilled? And some have even utilized the mysteries as some of its fulfilled prophecy. That's talked about in the Old Testament. But it's an interesting study, and I just thought I'd share that with you as part of this. But in accountability, faithfulness is demanded, because we're given as stewards the accountability of the mysteries of God. And as stewards, you know, talks about ministers in here as under rowers. And ministers is not just pastor. It's talking about everybody that's saved. We're all ministers of God. And as such, that they classify them as under rowers, or those that were in the slave ships down there, tied next to the person rowing the ship. We're down there doing, well, the dirty work, so to speak, or the hard work that needs to be done. God, we're God's instruments. Could God do it without us? Sure, he could. But he wants us to be used, to be stewards, and it describes even stewards as ones that have full management. So with the ministries of God, we're given management of those, of disseminating them, you know, and you can go into all sorts, you know, the parable of the talents, talking about those of Did you keep all those mysteries to yourself and not tell anybody about it? Or did you share some of those? And did you, was your ministry based on being a good steward, you know, such that we're able to I don't really know about this mystery thing, and, you know, I don't fully understand it, so I'm not going to tell anybody about it. Well, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be spending time in the Bible. You know, some ports of ministry, Romans 11:25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, ministry, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come." This is one area, you know, pastor's going to touch on a little deeper, but he's talking about not being ignorant of these mysteries. Of course, this is the one about Israel's blindness, but these were things that were concealed from earlier on and now being revealed. And, you know, I'm sure that there were prophets and faithful servants in the Old Testament that might have understood these in generalities. You know, I kind of think like, you know, Daniel, when pastor was going through there, Daniel saw a lot of the end times and talked about those 70 weeks and he was seeing a distance. Well, I just wonder, maybe the mysteries are in those valleys that he didn't fully see. And so the Apostle Paul was given that glimpse because he was raised a Jew. He knew what was supposed to happen, thought he was doing what God's will was, and then God finally showed him what his job was as a minister to bring those and to show some of these mysteries and to share them and say, hey, you guys are the stewards of them. And as they were going through that this office of a minister is one that's subordinate to Christ, and they're his servants. And those in the office should not attempt to be the head of a sect or party in the church. You know, the Apostle Paul is pointing that out, that the office is honorable as that of a steward is, and as we're going to describe a steward a little bit more, because we always think of Joseph as the steward. He was given control of Potiphar's house. They said, I'm allowed control of everything in this house except for you, and pointing to Potiphar's wife. He said, "There's everything has been given under my control. All the servants work for me." And it says the Christian should endeavor to form and cherish just ideas to ministers, to give them their true honor and not to overrate their importance. Talking about pastors, but each one of us to overrate themselves. In fact, we're talking about overrating last night. Jason was telling us there were some pictures on Facebook where he's taken over a company as first sergeant. Well, at a change of command, it's very ceremonial, and one commanding officer hands over, like for me, the keys of the submarine, so to speak, or pass the baton or the guide on, that it's passing from one man to another. Well, these people, they get in certain positions. There's no traditions to substantiate it, but Jason was telling me that a few years ago, one of the sergeant majors decided, I'm just as important as that commanding officer. I want a ceremony that befits me. So they have what they call passing of the sword. And there was some pictures where Jason was given the sword and he passed it around to the other guy. And then when that was within their battalion. He was leaving one position in a battalion and taking over a company. He said that was the ceremony for the battalion. I said, so is there any tradition? And he says, no, there's no real tradition. It's just somebody had thought that they needed to be just as important as the other guy. I was like, yeah, I know. And when the chief of the boat shows up, he shows up with his folder, a set of orders, and the captain introduces him at the morning muster, saying, this is the new chief of the boat. You guys all pay attention to him. He's my man. Obey what he says. That's all that's ever done. The other chief of the boat's already gone. So, you know, it's no big deal, so to speak. But we kind of snickered over this, going, yeah, somebody just had a little big head and thought I got to be better. But God, he's showing the truths about the gospel, the nature of the church, and the believer's stand in Christ. And if you look at those mysteries, that's really what describes people understand, well, you guys are getting all this. Well, we had a law and all this stuff, and we're being shown in Romans where the law has no effect. You can't be saved by the law. the law essentially, for all intents and purposes, is dead when it comes to salvation. But the Apostle Paul is sharing with them this truth. He says, moreover, it's required that a steward moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And with this, they're trying to show that a steward himself is given, in other words, the owner, the manager, or the owner of the household, or the king, or whoever, has given that over to the person, that person is a manager. People talk about, stewards of land trusts, and stewards of the forest, and stewards of the earth, and on and on and on. Well, we're stewards of the gospel, and each of us, we understand that, and we're to share it. Just like that yesterday, Pastor was telling that Brother Austin, had quite a bit of chance to share the things. And on visitation, that's an opportunity, or when we meet with friends and share the gospel with them, that's one of the mysteries that the Jews just couldn't fully understand and explain that. So he was trying to pass on the content understanding that he'd received without any additions, without any subtractions, without any compromises. 1 Corinthians 4:6 is one, and we're going to get down to it, but it says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that we might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So in other words, everybody's an equal when it comes to that. That it's like, well, he knows the Bible better than I do, and just, I'm just a, don't know anything, or I know it better than that guy does. Or like the guy that had to have that ceremony, and now it's kind of a standard in some ways. I'm just scratching my head going, thank you that we don't have, some people are common sense about certain things, Or, pastor could probably make a big regalia up here of an invitation. No, he makes it very plain and simple in what's there. He doesn't make it so that Anna has to play, just as I am over and over and over and over until everybody here, good and well whether you're saved or not. Or get everybody lost and then, get them resaved. It's like, no. A common sense approach. And that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to do. And Acts 20, verse 27, he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God, it can be presented plain and simply. When we talk about salvation of a person, we're sharing the gospel. We're presenting that. And from there, the other mysteries open up as people study and go through studies like what we're doing in Wednesday night services or Sunday evening. We get a little deeper in things there. But, so he's pressing to the Corinthians to follow his example of devotion and faithfulness. So one of the questions is, what are the characteristics of a minister who is serious about being faithful in truth? What kind of characteristics do we see with that? Lisa?
Study of the word, obedience to the word, and then telling others the word.
Exactly. Study, obedience, and sharing. And pastor, if you go out and knock on a door with him or just, happen to spend some time with him, there's always a tract in his pocket. How many times have we gone in and going, oh man, where's my tracts? I've left them, or I've run out of them. Always have one or two with you just in case. My wife's really good about that. And helps me remember that I'm supposed to have one or two in my pocket somewhere. But, there's evidences in the preachings and teachings. That's that. Another question we have here is, how should being faithful to the truth affect our Sunday school curriculum and other materials that we choose to use? Anybody want to jump on that? I know pastor screens all of our stuff ahead of time, so to speak. Austin?
It shouldn't be chosen lightly. It should actually have thought gone into it.
That's exactly right. You know, just, oh man, that sounds like a good idea. I think we'll teach on that, you know. Oh yeah, we watched this movie down here. I've heard of churches that they'll pick up on a themed movie and then they'll have a Bible study around it. Now there's a church in Georgia that they've actually taken Bible studies out of them because the movie dealt with somebody's issue in their life. I think one of them's called Fireproof, How to Fireproof Your Marriage. Not a bad idea, but it came very thoughtful and thought-provoking type material. Not just, well, you know, we watched, I don't know what's the latest new movie out, but, you know, we can pick on, you know, the main character and show how his life exemplified, you know, something in the Bible, or equate it that way. But it's important that we use material that present the scriptures, that presents how to grow, to edify, is what it really comes down to. And pastor's very good about that when he looks at them. And so, you know, I was Sunday school superintendent for a while, and it was, you know, a lot of times it was pull out the regular Baptist Press catalog, open it up, okay, what's the next one? What's it about? Or find out who was the person that wrote the lesson. Find a little something about them. And, you know, again, you know, pastor points out some of the, if there's an error, we try to identify those so that there's not mixed messages going out. We want it to stay true to the gospel. As it says, you know, stewards, you know, to be of the mysteries, and the all of this is such that, you know, going back to the parable of the talents, where, you know, there was one that had five talents and he gained five more, but then there was one that was given one talent. What did he do with it? He hid it. You know, I'm gonna just keep this thing away. Well, you know, people have used that. Well, okay, this person's saved, and that's all the more he is. Or, you know, that person was lost because it you know, he says, I'm going to give your talents to somebody else. So it's been used a myriad of ways, but it's dependability. You know, I gave you this. You didn't, you could have at least put it in the bank and got me something for it. That's what he paraphrased. But instead, you put it in the, you know, in the dirt. Put it in your mattress. It's, you know, not going to gain any interest. Just going to gain mites and mold in some cases. But, you know, the question comes up is, what does the Lord's treatment of the man in the parable reveal about the character of God? So when you think of those talents, you know, what is the character of God when you think about the parable in Matthew 25 is where that parable is. And in fact, let's just turn over there, because I think verse 30 is Matthew 25. Verse 28 says, "There, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, and unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Some people have used this as, you know, that was an unsaved person in that. But what does this say about the character of God? Pastor?
He's faithful to reward us. He knows the inward things that we can't see regarding
our Lord. Exactly. He can see us, and he knows that if we're going to follow through with that, or to what effect, or use it as a tool for us to grow, you know. But essentially, he's demanding obedience from us, in when we do things to do them as he would expect us, you know, and it's all for his purpose. That's what he's given to us in dealing with that. And as we look through there, some of the things that come up along with this, see if it's there. There we go. That there's some importance in here. You know, when it lays out, this is everyone on the ship that has counted on the under rowers to do their job well and consistently. You know, how many of, you know, run a rowboat? you know? And you don't pull hard enough with both oars at the same rate. What happens? You end up going in a circle. It's like a lot of the rowers, I think some of them, they show, you know, multiple people on there. Now, you know, with multiple people, you can sometimes maybe work with that team and one of you can rest a little bit and the others pick up the slack back and forth, but, you know, you don't do that very often. But can you imagine, you know, of course, the person that's giving out the commands or the cadence for that, he's going to gain retribution because he can see who's not working. And of course, you know, the Lord's not quite that mean when it comes to that, but it's to do their job consistently. And of course, along with this, the task of rowing, you know, demanded humility, which is intrinsic to faithfulness. When we do things, we don't do it to puff ourselves up. We do it to glorify God. Now, there are people out there with the wrong motives that go out there and do them so that they can show, hey, look what I did. And we see those kinds of folks out there. Whether it's, someone was, look at the record of soul winning that we did. We won X number of souls of the Lord. Or, you know, last month we baptized X number of people and on, you know, whatever it is. You know, well, we got, you know, 90% of the church was out on visitation last weekend. And, you know, small church, that, you know, could only be a couple. But still, you know, it's all in how you approach that. You know, do it with humility. And then on the commitment side, the under rowers needed to serve with all their strength and courage. In other words, they need to be committed to that. You know, I can only imagine what it would be like to have been back in those days. A lot of people survived them, a lot of people didn't. And along with this, the difficulty of rowing shows a commitment involves being faithful even when the task is hard. Because sometimes we're called to do things that we ourselves challenge is like, I can't do that. And then lay it at the Lord. And next thing you know, you're able to do that. When we had the booth out at the fairground, we had some people that had never given out a tract before. And to a few of them, well, that got them on fire. They gave out a tract. I've never done that before. And then next thing you know, they were comfortable doing that. You know, as going out with pastor on visitation, if you've never gone before, he gives a demonstration. And when he's gone through the lessons on that, and they're good reviews for us to do that periodically, is what does it, you know, take to go out and knock on the door or remind ourselves, what key verses should I memorize to help out there? And it's important, you know, that what seems as a hard task really isn't when we spend that time in there. You know, and like I said, the steward, and we got a couple minutes on here, but, you know, they were the manager of the household. And in most cases, they were given every opportunity in the house that if they were a dishonest servant, they could rob the master blind and make sure that, you know, he wasn't around to be caught. Well, with Joseph, the circumstances were that he got caught and was thrown in jail, but he didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, of course, a few people go, well, you know, he was in the house alone with the man's wife because the other servants went away. Well, it was all a setup. You know, the wife kind of dismissed the other people, and the whole thing was set up for him. But like with the brothers, what seemed to be evil, God made it turned out for good because he went to prison. And from there, he was promoted to just under the Pharaoh in Egypt. But a servant or a steward, God entrusts to us. That's why when we get saved, God trusts us to share the gospel. That's what he really is trying to do. And it's even though we've identified this as mysteries, to the unsaved it is a mystery. It's like, wow, salvation can't be that simple. And we show them from Scripture that it is very simple. It's just that men have made it difficult. They've tried to add things to it. They try to take things away from it. But we're stewards for this to present it faithfully, consistently, and simply. Not watered down, not so hard, well, you know, when you do this, you got to do this, you know, start adding things like, well, what was happening in the book of Acts when Peter pointed out, says, you're putting demands on these people that we couldn't even, you know, make right. So what's that purpose for? And of course, you know, they had to talk with the Gentiles and tell them, no, you can't be over here doing what you did before and then say that you're saved. And we do see that today. We see people that profess to be saved and they act like they're saved in church, but you get them outside the church, don't want any part of their lifestyle. They will be anywhere and everywhere. The language is the world. The actions of the world. Some people will, you know, business requires you to do this. No, business is the very same. If you want a testimony, your testimony should be spotless so that when you go out in the world, you're not different than when you're in church. You know, it's like you should always have that Bible in your hand because guess who's watching you all the time? You know, little kids make a joke about, you know, you can only have one cookie and, you know, they're pointing out that, you know, and one apple, and of course, you know, the little kids down there going, well, you know, are we giving these, you know, they're watching the apples down here, take as many cookies as you want, you know, type thing. You know, kids make a little joke out of that, you know, God's watching them down here. Because the thing is God watches us all the time. He expects us to, when we stand before Him at that judgment seat, that we are spotless. Yeah, He's going to point out errors in there, but He's going to hand us that reward at the end. And He's going to call us faithful. And we're going to be ushered in. And many are going to stand there that are not going to get rewards or very little. But He's going to call them faithful too. Because they at least got saved. And we've all been given these mysteries. And the opportunity for us is that you know, we're stewards and we're to be found faithful in everything that we do. So now that little songworm is in your head. from Frank Garlock. Let's pray. Father, we again thank You that You love us. You take care of us. Father, Your expectation of us, oftentimes we work.